Today, we're going to talk about mixing sound with live streaming with an expert, Ron Cochran. Ron's got a ton of practical experience in this field, and he's a frequent contributor to Worship Facility Magazine. He's got some good stuff to say, and it happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
Welcome, folks, to another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. And I didn't write it down, but I think this is episode number 463, somewhere around that area there. But thanks for being with us today, folks. My partner in crime, Steve Lacy, is actually not with us today. He's a little bit under the weather, but we'll probably have him next week. So thanks for being with us on the Church Solutions Podcast. We do have a guest today, which I will introduce in just a moment. But I do want to remind everybody that we have a webinar coming up, a new webinar, and it's happening March 18th. It's going to be 12 noon. And the webinar is called The Virtual Church. And we're going to talk with PTC Optics guy, Stephen Haywood. Stephen Haywood is really a lot of fun to be with. We've had him on the podcast before. And so he will be part of this webinar. And he's going to talk about, I think it's called Hive, H-I-V-E, which is a new thing that PTC Optics has. And it allows you to actually do a lot of things remotely. So we'll talk about that. It's called The Virtual Church, and I can't remember the rest of the title because we work really hard every month to come up with a really long title. And this month is no exception, but I can't remember it because it's not in front of me. But you can go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv and sign up for the webinar. And even if you can't make a sign up anyhow, because that way you'll get a recorded copy of it. So Stephen Haywood's our guest. It's 12 noon. It's March 18th. Go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv, and you can sign up and reserve your seat for the webinar. We will have a live Q&A, and we'll probably give something away, as we always do at the end of the webinar. We're not sure what we're doing yet, but we'll figure it out probably the day of. All right, good. So with that in mind, let me introduce today's guest. I'm excited to have him on here. I think it's the first time he's been on our podcast. Let me put my specs on so I can read his bio. He's actually a very frequent contributor to Worship Facility Magazine. And he writes extensively on church audio production and related topics. His articles cover a wide range of subjects, including audio mixing, which is really what we're going to talk about today, choir sound, technical aspects of worship service, especially when it comes to broadcasting and streaming video. We're going to talk about that. He's a member of the Worship Facility Editorial Advisory Board, and he's got a really good understanding, a deep understanding of church audio and production. And he's got a lot of experience because he's worked with numerous churches for many, many years. He also works with a company called AV Coalition, which we'll talk a little bit about as well. So, folks, please welcome Ron Cochran to the Church Solutions Podcast. Ron, how are you today?
I'm great, Phil. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to spending some time with you.
Yeah, we'll spend the next half hour or so together unless I run out of questions or I don't know, or we just don't like you, and then we'll shut you off. I don't know.
Of course. It's happened before.
Well, I'm sure it hasn't, but I'm just teasing you. All right, Ron. So, Ron, you really do have a lot of experience, and I'll start off by, we do streaming video. Most of what we do here is streamingchurch.tv. Of course, we do the podcast, and we do other stuff as well. We've been doing this since 2001, so we've been working exclusively with churches, and especially with streaming video since, I think, 2008. One of the things that I tell my customers, and see if you agree with me on this, I will, and because you're the expert, so we'll see if I hold up. But I usually almost always tell them that audio, when it comes to streaming video, audio is more important than video. Now, do you agree with that statement or not?
My video and lighting friends would disagree, but I would definitely agree with you. There's an old saying, I'm sure you've heard this, 1,000 times, audio is king, right? And I spent a lot of time with churches, and one thing that I've learned, I had a pastor once that I worked for years ago, and he would say, Ron, we see it before we hear it. We see it before we hear it. So the lights and the video are very important. And I totally get that. I was like, yeah, pastor, you're right. Absolutely. But aside from probably what a pastor says, I would say the emails and the complaints that a church gets on a weekly basis, aside from talking about the material that the pastor is talking about, are probably based on audio. That's the biggest complaint. And I've said before, it's like, nobody ever said, I really could have got to the throne if there were more blinky lights, right? But they will say, hey, that sounded horrible. And next week, I'm just going to stay in the lobby until the preaching starts, and then I'll go in. And so they've eliminated themselves from half of the worship experience. Same thing online. There's a lot more forgiveness when it comes to the visual aspect of things than there is for the audio. If there's latency, if the audio and video don't line up, or if the mix is bad, or, you know, one of the major problems that churches have, especially when they're not really steeped in the process, is the difference between the worship music is this loud, and then the pastor comes out and starts speaking, and it's this loud, this way down here. And so they turn up their computer or their TV or the lobby volume if they're at church, and to hear the pastor, and then the pastor finishes, and then the worship team comes back up. Well, guess what? You know, your laptop, your TV, and the lobby volume are all turned up, and so your speakers, it rocks your world a little bit. So there's a lot of reasons why. I definitely agree with you. Audio is king, and audio will make people turn stuff off quicker than any video glitch that you ever
have. That's just true. I don't think you can argue too much with that. A lot of people know this. I've been involved in ministry, or was. I'm retired now, but I did it for a long time. And I remember the first time I walked into one church, I had a radio background, and the guy said, oh, you used to do radio. Can you mix sound for us? I'm like, it's a little different. I did the little mixing, but I'm no good at it. I used to lead some worship back in my heyday, but generally it was just to fill the void for people till they found somebody who really knew what they were doing. But today, what we really want to talk about, for the most part, is streaming and audio is streaming. So what are your thoughts? What are the biggest differences between mixing audio for like live, like you were just talking about, in-person service, versus mixing for a live stream? What's the difference? Are you there?
Well, I think if you have a studio background and you're used to mixing in a studio, did you lose me?
No,
you're
absolutely
a little blurry, but I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're good. We're good. Keep going.
Are we there? Okay. Yeah. So I would say the biggest difference, obviously, is when you're mixing for a large congregation, you're actually mixing to the room. I tell people when I'm training folks to learn front of house mixing, be aware of what the room is doing. Don't just pay attention to the PA. How are people responding to it? That sort of thing. How does it feel in the room? Because the room is generating its own contributions to the mix. Where in the studio, you don't have any of that, or you don't want any of that. You want to have a clean studio environment so that it sounds like, your speakers are emulating what is going to happen when it's outside the building, that sort of thing. I did an article a while back called, does your mix pass the iPhone test? And I did a little survey prior to that to see how many, what are people listening to? These were church people. And I got about 1,000 responses, I think it was. What are they listening on? And like, it was over 80% of people are listening on their personal devices, or maybe a laptop. Very few people are listening to it on a home stereo or a home theater situation. I mean, it's less than 5% of the people that responded. So you're mixing for something that is going to be played through a speaker, about that big. So, and it goes down to kind of what I say a lot about when I'm mixing is like, you have to major on the majors. There's only so much sound that can fit in that tiny little, delivery device that you have. And so you really have to make sure that you are concentrating on, make the main thing the main thing. I mix a lot at a local church, and we change it up almost every week. Like, 1 week we'll have a string section, 1 week we'll have a choir, 1 week we'll have, like a bluegrass kind of vibe to it. And what I really think is important about mixing for studio is that when you see something on the screen, you really want to hear that, right? If the camera has the string section on there and you have the guitar player louder than the string section, then the viewer is like, it's discombobulating to see that, So I talk a lot about that, is like really zeroing in on what you see is what you need to be mixing. And one more thing, Phil, about what's the difference between the live experience in the room and then the broadcast, is the broadcast in most cases lasts forever. so people can go back and pull up that YouTube video, you know, unless it's a total meltdown and the church takes it down, which happens too. But that video is going to be up there for a long time. So I talked to a lot of churches. They're like, should we train our new guys on our broadcast mix and use our main guys on the, you know, in the auditorium? And I'm like, well, you need to think about that, because the video that's online forever or for at least a few weeks is going to be way more scrutinized, played over and over and over again. And of course, it's your curb appeal, right? So do you want to put your newest guy doing that? You know, maybe you should think about letting your experienced guy, you know, get your broadcast up and running, that sort of thing, before you, you know, start training people on something that is actually going outside your building and it's going to live there for a long time.
That's a good answer. So you kind of, I think you started to answer this, or you did give me an answer, but I'll ask it something else here. What is the most common mistake, common audio mistake that people make when they're trying to stream their services and mix sound?
Probably the difference between spoken word and music is a huge one. I see that a lot. Okay. So, and again, that's one of those things that can be very irritating to the person that's watching and listening, right? And so we mentioned that briefly, but basically you've got your worship music at one particular level. And then when the pastor comes out, it's substantially lower than that. And so you compensate by turning up your laptop or your phone or whatever. And then when the pastor's done, the music comes back up, it blows you away. So there are steps that I really work with guys to make sure that they're compensating for that, to make sure that those two portions of the worship service are closer together. They don't have to be exactly the same, but they need to be. So that's a very common problem that I encounter. The other is a lack of room response mics, audience mics. A lot of times are left out of the process where a church, it's not that expensive to grab a couple of condenser mics and put them somewhere in the room where they can pick up the crowd response. You know, I find that missing a lot of times. So those are probably two of the biggest things and if we get a little bit further down the line is a lack of low end, a lack of bass, but a lot of that is like, how do you navigate something that's, you know, once it's out of your hands, what's YouTube doing with it? What's Facebook doing with it? You know, all those, you know, that compression that hits and all that sort of thing. So it's a kind of a delicate line to walk to get everything right.
Yeah. I used to do a lot of speaking at churches, and I know you'd never guess this from our conversation here, but I'm kind of comical sometimes when I'm speaking. I noticed that I would listen sometimes to the recorded stuff just to, you know, critique myself and make myself feel really bad. But a lot of times if I was in a church and they actually did mic the audience, mm-hmm. you know, you would get some response from my stupid jokes or things that I would say, you know, but on some places, if it wasn't mic'd, you know, I might say something and it might have been really funny or really good, whatever it was. And it doesn't have to be a joke, right? It could be just really good, but they're just, you know, on the tape, there's no response. You know?
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and a lot of that depends on what a church's vision is. And I talk about this a lot in my writing is what is your mix philosophy? What is it you want to accomplish? Are you trying to recreate, you know, what is going on in the room to the best of your ability, which should include that ambient sound that goes into it? You know, you have to manage that carefully, but it needs to be there if that's the vibe that you're going for. Or some churches are like, no, we just want a straight up, you know, studio sound that's just tight and in your face, and which is fine too. As long as the church knows, you know, what target they're going for, to tell their sound guys to go for that target. That's the key. It's like whatever the vision is of the church, that's what needs to, you know, that's what needs to be pursued to the best ability that you can.
So you mentioned this earlier, that different musical styles. Okay. So how do you approach, and I know this is kind of a hard question to just answer here on a short podcast, but how do you approach mixing the different musical styles, you know, like traditional hymns versus modern worship, you know, bands versus choirs? I mean, is there some wisdom you can pass on?
Well, one of the questions when I train folks, and I do a fair amount of that, is I ask this question, is like, particularly when it comes to modern worship, is your job to recreate a pre-recorded CD only louder, or is it to engage people in worship, right? And I think we know what the obvious answer should be. You know, it's not a trick question, but some people get it wrong. And the answer is you want your folks to engage in the worship experience, even when it's online. I'm not saying that you expect people to stand up and sing in their pajamas or whatever that is, but is to create what it is the church is trying to do. So it really, I don't get really married to try to duplicate some particular style if I'm hitting the marks on what the church's vision is, right? Obviously, one of the fun things to do is mix choir or strings, you know, that sort of thing. I really like it when we can step away from your typical worship band and do something a little different and feature those other elements. But again, I would kind of go back to what I said earlier. The important thing of whatever it is you're mixing is it needs to look how it sounds. It needs to feel like it sounds like it looks, you know, so that you can get away. I wrote this in an article, like if we're featuring a choir one week and I like to have the choir mics, you know, spread out, so I'm getting a nice full left, right balance of the choir throughout the whole system. And if I have to sacrifice some other instrumentation to do that, that's what I'm going to do, because I want to make the main thing, which on that particular day is the choir. I wouldn't say there's any hard and fast rules. I would just say honor what is on the platform is what I'm trying to say. So you're working with volunteers, you're working with people who have practiced, you know, Susan is a paralegal and she only has a few hours a week to prepare on her piano. I want to honor that. I want to make sure that her efforts are heard and seen when the camera goes across where her hands are on the keyboards. I want to see that. I want to hear that. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's talk a little bit about some practical stuff here. Some churches, when they're doing live streaming, we'll have somebody in a completely different room mixing the stream with the audio. Some will have them in the same, you know, they're just back there where everybody else is, and they're trying to do with headphones. I mean, what would you suggest? Is there a way? Because it just seems to me like you're practically speaking, and from my experience of watching this and seeing people in action, it's almost better that if you're mixing the stream audio, you might be better off in a different part of the building than to be right there. Is that right or wrong?
100%. Yes. That's definitely correct. Where I mix very often at a church I work for a lot, I'm two stories below the auditorium when the worship is going on. So I'm downstairs. They call it the dungeon or the cellar or what, you know, whatever. So I'm down there isolated in a room, you know, people walk by the door, they have no idea what's going on in there. And I've got the video monitors and I have a comm and all that other kind of stuff. So that's at a level of a church that has those resources to be able to do that, of course. So you're right. That is ultimately the best thing. I'll give you a great example of a church of how that works. As I helped the church, one of my church clients, install a broadcast studio. So they had the studio and then they had the front of house and they had the same console at both. So they could talk back and forth and everything. And it was a nice studio. It was really nice. But what they realized after having this really nice studio for about a year or year and a half, they realized that they didn't have the talent based on the town that they were in, right, to have somebody who could man that every weekend. Okay. So it was almost better for them to bypass the mixing position and go straight from their live console to the stream. Okay. Which is what they were doing before they had the resources to install the studio. But they realized it's like, we don't have the personnel or the resources at this point in our ministry, in the story of our ministry, to equip that to do it well. So we actually had better days when they would just take what was going on the main console in the room and then send that to the stream. So I tell churches a lot, it's like, yes, you ideally you want to have a separate studio to do the mixing in. But if you don't have the personnel with it, it's like back in the days when I was in a rock band, it's like, you know, the thing that you wanted a tour bus, right? Well, you might be able to afford to buy the tour bus, but can you afford to keep it?
Right.
You know, can you keep it on the road, right? I was like owning a private airplane. Can you really afford that thing, right? Can you pay a pilot to drive it, right? So it's that sort of thing. You have to kind of weigh out those differences, because a lot of churches, again, back to the issue of who the personnel. It's like the guy that's doing front of house is the guy that has the most experience, and you're supplementing your team by somebody else that has less experience for a position that could be more important, again, because those, that stream lasts forever. So ideally, yes, I would love to for every church to have their own separate broadcast mix. But if you can't do that, you might be better off just really working hard to make your room right and just stream directly from your console.
Well, let's address that, because we have a lot of churches. We have a lot of customers that, you know, the churches are smaller churches. So, all right, you don't have a studio. So you're sitting next to the sound guy, or maybe you're the same guy. I don't know. Or yeah. Gal. I mean, so should you put on these? How do you do that practically? Do you put on some really heavy headphones?
Right.
And try to mix it. And the other thing, too, is you always have like a latency. And it's usually like 30 seconds or so. I mean, just give me some practical tips here.
Yeah. So actually what I'm talking about here is very rare do you want somebody sitting next to the console. You know, I've done a few churches where they wanted to do that. And so what they did was they had the guy sitting next to the front of house guy with an iPad mixing off the same console, but controlling everything that's going to a different matrix. And he's sitting there with his headphones on, you know, mixing for what's going on the stream. That's really hard to do. It really is. You're better off basically just letting the guy that's mixing for the room mix for the room, and then occasionally putting on his headphones to make sure what's going on line is as close as it can be. And there's a lot of different ways to accomplish that. You know, one of the battles we talked about is matching up spoken word to worship music. You can use a matrix to compensate for that. So I've got my pastor mic at the level that it needs to be in the room, but it's not loud enough on the stream. Well, I can have a matrix that's feeding the stream off the console so that I'm sending the main mix off the console, but I can add more or less of other instruments or spoken word that's going into that matrix that's feeding the broadcast. I would say the idea of having somebody sitting in the same room with headphones trying to mix on the same console or even a companion console, I would almost say you're going to be better off if you start out with just the one guy on the one console. And it's a lot of work. I'm not saying it's easy to do, but it's probably less, you know, less potential train wrecks if it's just one guy doing it.
I've had people, and this has been years, but I've had people, I think I've even told them to do this because they didn't have much of a budget. You know, take what's coming out of your main mixer and put it into one of these little mixers.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
And then send it to your encoder, you know.
Right. That's what we used to do back in the day, where we would have, you know, a mixer with, you know, 48 channels or whatever it is, and it's going into a smaller mixer. And then we would mix in. So I would be getting what we would call a two bus from the main mixer, right? And it's going into a smaller mixer. But under that smaller mixer, that's where I've added my ambient, my room mics. So, and adding those mics in can take what we would call a board mix. When you take a board mix, it's almost like when you put a CD in, you record it directly off the console, and it's very dry and it's kind of dull because it doesn't have the response of the room and that sort of thing. But so it's the same process, but if you put that smaller mixer in between and then have your ambient mics going into that mixer and mixing those, setting the kind of set it and forget it kind of thing, that's going to give your mix some life, even though you're not specifically mixing for the stream. Now, the good news is nowadays you don't have to have that smaller mixer. Using matrixes or auxes, you can do the very same thing all on the same console. You can have room mics that are going into your stream mix that aren't going into the house or anything like that. So with the technology we have today, it's a lot easier to do than it used to be.
So speaking of technology, you've got a couple minutes left here. What's your thoughts on the automatic mixing plugins or the automatic software when it comes to audio and streaming? I mean, I think I know your answer to this, but tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, if you mean like the Dan Dugan auto mix feature or some of those things, and there's so many variables to say that, you know, you plug in a certain plugin and it's going to make everything sound great, or it's going to make your mix better, or some of these online, you know, really talented guys that are selling their templates of this is how we mix at XYZ Church. And if you want the template, I'll send you this template. You can start it and use. there's so many variables. Every PA is different. Every stream situation is different. So I can't really hesitate to say that there's anything that's really going to work to make your mix better than having somebody who really knows what they're doing get behind your console and help you mix, you know? So that's kind of my thought. And that goes down to a whole lot of plugins that, you know, there's not much that can replace a good ear that really knows what they're doing. So.
Absolutely. Okay, we're just about out of time. Ron Cochran's our guest here. So, Ron, you work with a company called AV Coalition. What is that?
So, AV Coalition, for years, I worked in integration. So, I worked for companies that sold, you know, audio, video, and lighting systems to churches. And the current way that the industry works is you engage with an integrator, and for a design build contract, they design it, then they sell it to you. And that's great. It's a, you know, the industry was great to me, and there's a lot of good ones out there, but there are a lot of churches that are a little bit overwhelmed by that process. And the hole in that process is that the same people that are designing the system and advising you on what kind of equipment to get and all that sort of thing are the same people that are selling you the system. Okay. That can cause problems, and you may get stuff that you don't need, or you may get stuff that's really not good for you. You may have an over-designed system, that sort of thing. So AV Coalition, we founded this company so that we could come in and work on behalf of the churches. We don't sell the equipment. We don't do any of that stuff. We design, we consult, and then we bring in the other companies and we manage them to bid on your project, so that you can have a project where you know somebody's like looking out for you and is kind of standing in the gap between you and the people that are actually selling you the equipment to make sure that you're getting what you need and that it's working with the design that you want and that sort of thing. So it's like it kind of birthed out of the idea of a client rep. In church construction, there are a lot of companies that provide client representation where their job is to protect the church from, you know, the general contractor and the, you know, not to say that people are getting, you know, are cheating or that sort of thing, but, you know, trust but verify, that sort of thing. And so we have found a niche to be able to help churches do that, where they either don't have the staff or the technology or the knowledge to do it themselves, or they don't have the time to do it or that sort of thing, or they just need another layer of protection based on their board, you know, their bylaws and that sort of thing. They may require an independent consultant to come in along. So it's basically, we work for the church, not for the integrator, not for any of the manufacturers. So that's our business model, an AV Coalition.
So AV Coalition. So how can people get a hold of you if they have questions or they're thinking about this or whatever it might be?
AVCoalition.com. We're all over social media and all those sort of things. You can find me on the worshipfacility.com. I do the newsletter for Worship Audio. We just changed the name of it from Audio Connections to Worship Audio. That comes out twice a month. I do 2 or 4 articles a month with them. So there's plenty of ways to reach us, and we're out there. We're easy to find. So,
Worship, somebody could just Google Worship Facility Magazine.
Worship Facility, AV Coalition, CFX, any, you know, it's all a big circle. You know, we're all friends.
That's good. All right. Well, good deal. So Ron Cochran's been our guest today on the Church Solutions Podcast. Ron, this has been wonderful. I really appreciate your insight.
Well, thank you, Phil. It's been great. I appreciate the time to spend with you.
Thanks. Well, good, good. And we obviously need to have you on again. We just kind of scratched the surface on some of this stuff, but we do appreciate it. And folks, we appreciate your time today. Whether you're watching or listening to the Church Solutions Podcast, be sure and subscribe to wherever you get your podcast. And that way you'll never miss an episode, and write us and give us some love, or tell us what we're doing wrong. We are always open to some insight and some criticism, constructive ways. So anyhow, we appreciate it very much. And make sure you sign up for our webinar coming up. Just go to webinar.streamingchurch.tv. And you can even look at some of the past webinars we've done if you go there. And you can look at some of the other stuff. And it's all for free. All right, Ron, thanks again.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it.
All right. And folks, take care of yourselves and each other. And we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions Podcast. I'm Phil Thompson.